Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Chris Carlin's voice. He may have been missing something, but you're not missing this program. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN Plus. I'm Amber Wilson. She's Shea Cornett. We are filling in for the guys. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can always tweet to me and Shea at Shea Pepler. That's her. At Amber W Sports. That's me. You can also join the conversation on the CC call-in line at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees avoided their scheduled arbitration today. They didn't have to go through that 4 to 5 hour arbitration Zoom call. Instead, they agreed on a 1-year, $19 million contract. So we now know how much money Aaron Judge has been playing for this season when he's doing all of that spectacular play that he has been doing out there for the sport's best New York Yankees. For all things New York, we bring in the legend Anita Marks, ESPN New York 98.7, The Daily Wager. And Anita, let's start with Aaron Judge because we now know what he's playing for this season. We just don't know what he's going to be playing for next season. He turned down that $213.5 million offer from the Yankees before the season started. He will be a free agent after the World Series. What is the fan perspective right now surrounding Aaron Judge? He's in the midst of his best season yet. Do Yankees fans want the Yankees to cough up the 300 plus it's going to take to keep him now?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? And thank you, Brian Cashman, for letting us know exactly what you offered Aaron Judge before the season started. And of course, Judge and his in his camp were very upset that Cashman revealed those numbers to everyone. But right now, based on how well this team is doing, and with all due respect, listen, their pitching rotation has far exceeded what any of us had expected this season. Number one ERA as a rotation in Major League Baseball, but it begins and ends with Aaron Judge. So it's very interesting. So a few things. Number one, let's unpack this way, right? Like, as you said, they work out their deal. They don't go to arbitration. The Yankees were offering 17. The Judge camp wanted 20. They agreed to 19. Okay, that's this year. But if Judge continues to rip the cover off the ball, 27 home runs, 53 RBIs, batting 304, let me tell you something. There's going to be, ladies, there's going to be a ton of teams that are going to be offering him $300+ million. So when you look at Cashman's deal of 7-year, $213.5 million, when that was first revealed, oh, I'm hosting Sports Talk Radio here in New York. You know, Yankee fans are calling into my show. Judge, what is he thinking? That's a great deal. You know, he should have accepted it. He's greedy. What's going now, based on the season he's having, there are Yankee fans that are concerned, guys. Don't think for a second that the Mets won't be coming after him, throwing $300+ million his way. You've got the Giants, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Angels, the Twins. These are just a few teams that have been associated to teams that could possibly be throwing Aaron Judge that type of money come October and November.
And what a shame that would be if he did leave the Pinstripes, because he's the face of that franchise, has been, and hopefully will remain to be. Let's shift gears. Let's go to the basketball court now, Anita, and what happened last night. Well, the Knicks did something, I guess, head-scratching is what you could say today. So they traded away their 11th pick. They traded away their 23rd pick. And then they traded away their 13th pick. And also Kemba Walker gets out of town as well, and so on and so forth. It was a three-way trade. But then today, obviously, we're all kind of scratching our heads. Like, what is the point of this? Is it to go get Jalen Brunson? Is this all of this just for Jalen Brunson? From your perspective, and obviously you've got the pulse there in New York, like, was this as big of a deal as we're making it? Was it as head-scratching as it feels to me? What did you make of last night in the Knicks' performance?
So this is what I've unpacked today, right? And from what's being communicated to me is that the Knicks tried to trade up for Ivy, okay? And the asking price was not in their ballpark. So they went to plan B. So what was plan B? Wheel and deal. You know, trade the 11th pick, then, of course, you trade Kemba Walker. And so what do they end up with? 2023, two first-round draft picks falling somewhere in the top 14, top 18, if not better, in a 2025. So now they have 11 first round draft picks for the next 7 years. So this is a team, as we know, here's what the problem is. This is a team that's been rebuilding for over a decade. Yep. So, you know, as much as we were told to trust the process in Philadelphia, like, how much can Knicks fans, you know, deal with here in New York when you're trying to trust the process, but, you know, it's nothing is developing properly. So where does this team stand right now? Everything that I'm hearing is that it is all about Brunson from the Dallas Mavericks. As we know, last season was pretty solid, right? Averaging 16 points a game, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 50% from the field, 37% from downtown. But here's what the big question mark is, guys, and that is he a legit number one player? Now, a number one point guard, that's what the Knicks need. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean an A player. You know, you can have the argument, right, that his success had a lot to do with the fact that defenses just totally have to pay so much attention to Luka, right? So it opens up easier looks for Brunson. Would Brunson have the same success here in New York playing with R.J. Barrett, with Julius Randle, with Mitchell Robinson? One would say, I don't think so. So therefore, should the Knicks, if whatever deal, whatever happens, you know, should they pay $25 million a year for Jalen Brunson, when you're not even certain if he's an A baller, a number one on a roster? That's really what the big question mark here. There's two. It's twofold. Number one, will he accept a deal with the Knicks if they offer a 4-year, $25 million? Keep in mind, his father works on the staff now. He's part of the coaching staff. That's a leg up for the Knicks. But the Mavs are expected to offer him 5-year, $20 to $25 million. So does he leave a better situation with Dallas playing alongside Luka, who's going to offer him better looks at the basket, better stats, better opportunity to make it into the postseason next year? Or he's going to leave the Mavs, come here, accept a 4-year, $20, $25 million deal and play with Daddy? That's really what the big question mark is, and we're not going to know for a few weeks.
I don't hate the Jalen Brunson move in its entirety, but what the Knicks actually need, Anita, I'm pretty sure, is that other guy on the Mavericks in Luka, really, to save this team right now. Anita Marks, ESPN New York 98.7, joining us here on Canty and Carlin, Amber Wilson and Shea Cornett filling in for the guys. Let's change subjects to another team in New York, and that would be the Brooklyn Nets, dealing with their own drama right now, Anita, with Kyrie Irving right now apparently in an impasse. He has until Wednesday to decide if he's opting into his contract or not. This could have Kevin Durant implications. So let's discuss the Kevin Durant aspect of this story. Could you actually see a world where Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are no longer on this Nets team sooner rather than later? Is KD going to force his way out of Brooklyn? What would be the Nets fan reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, can I envision it? Yeah, I mean, anything's possible, which, by the way, guys, like, there's just so much drama here in New York, right? Like, we've gone from Judge to the Knicks, and now Kyrie and the Nets. It's just like, you know, do we have enough time for sports talk radio here in New York? But, okay, so here's what I'm understanding. You know, this team, and let's go back, right, with the whole Harden thing, him forcing his way out, going to Philadelphia, joining forces, of course, down there with Embiid, and what did it leave for Katie in Kyrie? You know, this isn't what either guy signed up for. Like, you know, everything was in motion for a big three to be here in New York with the Nets, not a big two. So from what I understand, Kyrie wants, he wants a longer deal from the Nets. The Nets don't want to offer him a longer deal. They want to offer him a shorter deal. From what I understand, Nets ownership is on board with the front office. You know, there's a lot of owners who are like, oh, we got to do anything and everything we can to keep Kyrie. We can't let him go. That's apparently what's being reported here, is that that's not the case. Okay. So I don't think Kyrie is going to get the deal he wants. So then what happens? They're an opt-in and a trade, a sign-in trade, an opt-out and free agency. I know that there's a list of six teams that he'd be interested in going to, all teams that are potential competitors heading into next year, the Lakers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Mavs, the Clippers, and the 76ers. But if Kyrie opts out or is sign and trade or whatever, however that is facilitated, right, between him and the organization, I think KD is going to sit back and say, okay, now what is the organization going to do? You got Ben Simmons with a lot of question marks with his health, right? And his play on the basketball court. We haven't seen him play in forever and a day, right? So I think KD steps back and says, okay, this organization needs to prove to me, what are they going to do? How are they going to build around me? And if he's not happy, now keep in mind, he has a 4-year deal with the Nets, right? If he's not happy, you know, does he become that disgruntled basketball player where they control their own future and demand and really hold the Nets hostage? That's a possibility. So I think, A, it's a domino effect. What happens with Kyrie? Do the Nets offer him that long-term deal that he wants? I don't believe so. It's going to be short-term. Does he accept it? Does he go to another team? And then if he does, how do the Nets respond? What do they do? How do they rebuild around KD? And will he be happy with what the organization does? And that's going to decide whether or not he stays or not.
So well, all this drama in New York is great for sports talk radio during the dog days of summer. Anita Marks, ESPN New York 98.7. You can also check her out on The Daily Wager. Anita, thanks so much for joining us.
You got it. You guys have a great weekend.
See you, Anita.
Coming up next, we will dive more into the situation with the Nets. Let's assume that all those guys are back. KD, Kyrie, Ben Simmons. How good are the Brooklyn Nets in that scenario? We'll unpack that next. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drew Wilson and Shea Cornett filling in for the guys on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can tweet to me and Shea at Shea Pepler at Amber W Sports. Shea, we've been talking a lot about this Kyrie Irving situation. What is he going to do? Is he going to opt in? We know that there's these other teams he allegedly wants to go to. Is there going to be a sign and trade? Are the Nets going to get rid of everybody? But let's just assume for a moment that Kyrie opts in. KD then is happy. So obviously he's not demanding a trade. Ben Simmons is on that roster. At some point, we presume he's going to play basketball again. How good is that Nets team with those three guys?
I mean, they're good. And again, I would say it's championship or bust. If all three dudes are healthy, all three dudes are getting along, and all three dudes are playing at their highest capable performance, then that should be a championship or bust caliber team, and that should be the thought process in that locker room and nothing less. However, I've said with this team all along, when there's smoke, there's fire. That is what we've seen from jump with the Brooklyn Nets. And the fact that we're already talking about possible landing spots for Kyrie Irving has me concerned that we're not going to see this big three together ever, because Ben Simmons had yet to be on the court last season. And if they blow this thing up, we're not going to see these three guys play together. And that's really unfortunate. There's just too many ifs for me to be like, this is a team that's going to go all the way next year in the Eastern Conference. Like, Kyrie has to be happy, has to decide to stay. Okay, Ben Simmons has to be 100% and find out somehow this summer how he's going to work his way into things where he can get back to that defensive juggernaut that he once was. And then KD has to be okay with all of this that's gone on in the offseason and find a way where everyone can come together and he can be the leader of the squad. And so to me, there's just too many ifs to bank on this. But if, as I say that, all that to say, but if these big these three are together and they return the pieces that they had on that roster last year with the inclusion of Ben Simmons, there should be no doubt yet again that we're not talking about a championship roster and a championship season for the Brooklyn Nets.
So I actually think there's a high probability that we're going to see these three guys play basketball together next season. And I know with Ben Simmons, there's always a question mark in terms of, you know, when we're going to see him, when is he going to be available? Obviously with Kyrie, there's question marks again as well about when we're going to see him, when he's going to be available. But I think that there is a high probability just from the perspective that although negotiations aren't going well right now between Kyrie and the Nets, I do think the Nets is where Kyrie's going to make the most money right now. I also think, frankly, they're probably the team that gets him closest to a championship. I mean, some of these other teams on the list, and we talked about it earlier in the show, you can always check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Just search for Canty and Carlin. We talked about it earlier in the show. Some of these other teams, like the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, I don't know if teaming up with LeBron at this point in LeBron's career, frankly, gives you a better shot at winning a championship than where he's at right now alongside KD. For me, the wild card is Ben Simmons, Shay, because I don't know how to evaluate this team. If we're talking about these three guys playing together, I don't know how good they are because I haven't seen Ben Simmons play basketball in so long. I know he's an elite defender. I know he's the player actually with that skill set that they need. So he could be incredibly valuable to them out there, even with just the skill set that we know he does possess. And we don't have to waste so much of our breath talking about, is he going to take the shot and all of that? Because he doesn't have to on that team, and he can let those guys create much more, and he can just do what he's best at. It's a good fit in theory. I just haven't seen him play basketball in so long that I don't know if it's a good fit in reality. And so for me, it's impossible to really evaluate how good they would be. I know with just KD on a Brooklyn Nets team, they ain't got enough. As great as KD is, of course, they don't have enough with just KD out there. We practically saw that last season. And then even with KD and Kyrie, they ain't got enough because we've seen it. And with Kyrie, whether it's because he's unreliable or not, like, they need more than just that. And so for me, the wild card, it comes down to Ben Simmons. I don't know. I don't know what they have in Ben Simmons, Shay. I really don't.
Like, when you say they don't got enough, I agree, but they don't have enough defensively. Like, that was the big problem with the Brooklyn Nets last year. Like, they were not good defensively, and they needed someone to stop, like, be, you know, a protector of that rim, and they just didn't have it. And so if you get Ben Simmons, and who cares what he does offensively, in my opinion, if you have Kyrie and KD, you need him to be a defensive juggernaut. You need him to step in right away and play the role of spoiler for a lot of these, you know, good shooters across the league. So I would love for the Brooklyn Nets to, like, figure this thing out and, like, go out and do what they were supposed to do 3 years ago. Really, I would love it. To me, I don't think it's gonna happen, but I would love it. And I think Kevin Durant would too. But unfortunately, Kevin Durant is yet again going to have to quote unquote wait and see what Kyrie Irving decides to do. I don't know.
We don't know. We will have to wait and see. We will also have to wait and see whether the Stanley Cup Finals ends tonight in an Avalanche win, or whether the Lightning can bounce back. Who needs to step up for the Bolts to stave off elimination tonight? We'll get into that next. This is Canty and Carlin.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Game 5 is tonight between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche. It could all end for the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson and Shay Cornett filling in for the guys. The puck drops tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. The Avalanche lead that series, of course, 3-1. So let's talk a little puck here. Greg Roshinsky is going to help us do that, ESPN senior NHL writer. And Greg, I want to go back to game four for a second, because John Cooper said after the game, he only took one question, and he said his heart breaks for his players and that the game-winning goal shouldn't have counted. And at the time, a lot of people didn't really necessarily know what he was referring to. And then it does appear that overtime goal, there were too many men on the ice. How big of a controversy has that become? And are the Lightning ready to just move forward from it?
It was definitely a controversy in the moment, and I think he was correct that the referees and the Lions missed that call. But I was in that press conference, I was actually holding the microphone ready to ask question number two, and then was left holding it when he stormed out after question number one. I think that was a bit tactical by Cooper, if we're being honest. I think, look, they got their soul crushed losing on home ice in overtime in game four. I think they thought they were definitely coming back here tied 2-2 in the series. They had played well enough in regulation to earn that right. Then they lost in overtime. I feel like he was trying to change the conversation by making a big thing out of the too many men situation. And I think he was successful. The news cycle for the next 48 hours has been more about that play than anything else. But to a man today, the Lightning say, what's done is done. The pass is passed. They've got to focus on trying to just get one win here on the road.
All right, speaking of the Lightning, let's stay there and let's go to their goaltender, Andre Vasilevskiy. He's been amazing, you know, between the pipes throughout the postseason, throughout the majority of the season, and normally coming off a loss. But this series, everything kind of goes out the window. He's giving up 4 goals a game, and he hasn't been as dominant as he has been prior to this. And so what do we chalk that up to? Is tonight's game solely based on goaltending? Is Colorado's offense just too good that the goaltending can't overcome it? Like, what's going to happen tonight, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think their best hope in this game is that he pulls out some playoff magic that we've yet to see in this series from him. I mean, he was really good through the Florida series, outdueled Igor Shesterkin in the Rangers series. But in this series, he's not really been a deciding factor in any of these games, and I think that's what they're looking for tonight. As far as his effectiveness against the Avalanche, I mean, the Avalanche are just really good, and they're only getting better. They're getting healthier. Andre Burakovsky, their injured winger, could come back for tonight's game. And their power play has really been the story of the series. Special teams in particular has been the story of the series, as the Avalanche have scored 6 power play goals. The Lightning only have 1. They're 1-for-14 on the power play. And so there's only so much you can do when you're facing an onslaught like Vasilevskiy has faced in some of these games. But we'll see what he has in store for tonight.
Greg Roshinsky, ESPN senior NHL writer, joining us. Now, Tampa Bay, obviously it's all on the line tonight, but they're a battle-tested team. I mean, we know this is their 3rd Stanley Cup Finals in a row, but I mean, they overcame that 3-2 deficit earlier this postseason. We know that they've clawed their way out of these 0-2 holes in this postseason. Do the Lightning have an advantage then because they're battle-tested? I mean, do they like maybe in some weird way the scenario where their backs are against the wall and it is win or go home tonight?
Well, I know they'd much rather be up 3-1 than down 3-1. But the experience factor, I think, is more interesting when we're talking about Colorado, because the situation with the Avalanche is, and this is besides Vasilevskiy, maybe the Lightning's best shot at winning in this game, is if Colorado isn't ready for this moment. And there is a little evidence that when it comes to this moment, they might not be ready. Game 5 against the St. Louis Blues, it's the same situation. They had a chance to close out that semifinal series at home, and they blew it. They lost in overtime. They had to go back to St. Louis for Game 6 and win on a last-second goal. Now, I talked to a lot of the Avalanche players before this series about that moment, and they all said, look, that was the big moment of adversity in these playoffs. We didn't necessarily meet the challenge, and now I feel like they've got a real, you know, eye of the tiger thing about not repeating the same mistake. But, you know, there's something to be said for the fact that this has already happened once before to them in the playoffs.
Talking to Greg Roshinsky right now, our ESPN senior NHL writer. Okay, Greg, so the Avs have a chance to clinch tonight, right? And it's been a lot of Avs throughout the entirety of this season. We talked a lot about the Lightning, what they have to do. If the Avs want to close this out on home ice, what do they have to do tonight?
So the way that they were able to win the first 2 games of the series is they absolutely stuck a dagger through the heart of the Lightning in the first 10 minutes of both of those games. They earned multiple goal leads in the first 10 minutes of both of those games. The Lightning were forced to make undisciplined penalties in the first 10 minutes of those games. And the Lightning today even talked about the fact that, like, if they don't get the start that they need, they're not going to be able to get to their game. They're not going to be able to put any pressure on Colorado. They're not going to have the Avalanche chasing the game. So the start here is key. You know, the crowd's going to be incredibly loud tonight, knowing that the Cup is in the building. And the Avalanche have shown that if they, you know, put the pedal down early against this Lightning team, that could carry them to victory in any game here.
I'm going to ask you an incredibly novice question here, Greg, but I live in the Tampa Bay area. I grew up here, so I'm a Floridian by birth. I'm not going to pretend to be a hockey expert. And just watching the series, what I had always understood about hockey is home ice doesn't matter so much in hockey. And it seems to here, like it seems to in this series. You mentioned that crowd in Denver tonight. How important is it that this game is in Denver for the Avalanche?
It's really big. I mean, you know, they definitely feed off the home crowd here, but to get a little bit technical about it, the reason why home ice matters in a series like this is because when there's a face-off, the Avalanche are able to see who the Lightning put on the ice, and then they decide who they're going to put out against them. And the big reason that's a huge factor in this series is that they've gone strength versus strength on home ice. They've put out Nathan MacKinnon's line, their top line, a real dominant line, up against the Lightning's line with Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov, which is their best offensive line. And in the first two games of the series, MacKinnon's line absolutely rolled them. One of the reasons the Lightning struggled so much offensively is that their best offensive players were playing defense more than they were playing offense. So there is a tactical real advantage for this game being in Denver tonight, and we might see the same thing play out here that we saw in the first two games.
Really quick, Greg, here before we let you go, because I know there's some business to take care of, obviously, with the game coming up here shortly. Game five tonight, Colorado's favored by 1.5 goals. What do you think?
Well, I do think they're going to win tonight. I think fatigue is becoming a real factor for the Lightning, and I just think that the Avalanche on home ice are a very tough team to beat. On Daily Wager, ESPN's own Daily Wager, yeah. I think my favorite bet today was actually the Lightning under 2.5 goals as a team total. I think defensively on home ice, the Avalanche really control the puck, really play well, and the Lightning have shown already in two games that the altitude, the defense, all of those factors make it really hard for them to score in this building.
Darn altitude. Get you every time. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN. It's true. ESPN senior NHL writer. Yeah, Greg, thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Shay, it's that thin air, man. I'm telling you, when you live in Florida and you go up to that thin air, it's no joke. Coming up next.
Florida references, Amber. It's like she lives a perfect life. She's got no altitude. She's got no winters. She doesn't know how to treat pools. I mean, my goodness.
Except for my hockey team is about to lose the Stanley Cup Finals tonight, so it's not perfect.
Stay positive.
Coming up next, we take our time to discuss Steve Clifford, who is agreeing to return to the Charlotte Hornets as coach after leaving the Charlotte Hornets. We have a lot to get into still. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Secrets aren't often so well kept when it comes to drafts, particularly in 2022, Shay, right? Where normally we get the picks like before they're even picked, frankly, and you have to stay off Twitter if you don't want the spoilers. But the secret from the Orlando Magic last night that they were going to take Paolo Banchero with that number one pick in the NBA draft, that was a secret pretty well kept, because for whatever reason, even though, yes, he was one of the top three players, everybody expected him to be in the mix, everyone thought the Magic were going with Jabari Smith. So much so that Banchero actually canceled his workouts with the Orlando Magic because he thought he had no shot at being drafted number one. And I'm just wondering, like, what is your reaction to that, Shay? Because I feel like, why not go through the workout? Like, what was the harm of that? Like, dream a little. Think you might be the number one pick, right?
Well, now, from my perspective, now did he cancel those workouts because he thought, like, let my tape tell the story? I don't really understand why that happened, but I guess it didn't matter anyways. So good for him. He didn't have to do extra work for no good reason, and he ended up making the money and being the number one pick overall. But I think that's why that selection was so perplexing to all of us, not because reports were different before that came out and 1 through 3 were being shifted all around, but more so the fact that he never worked out for the Orlando Magic. So everyone kind of wrote off the fact that Paolo could go number one overall because of that exact fact. And to me, like, I feel multiple ways about this. Like, for number one, to me, it's not that big of a deal because we knew Paolo was going to go 1 through 3 at some point anyways. But at the same time, like, why do we have to know who's going number one overall? Why can't we just wait until the NBA draft and learn how we learned last night? Like, there's no reason for us to be upset about this. It's confusing, yes, because what is the point of all the runaround if you have the number one overall pick and you don't even work out the guy? What's the point of the drama, I guess? But at the same time, what are the rest of us upset by? We learned when he learned that he was going – if anyone should be upset, it should be him. He didn't even know where he was going to live until 30 seconds before the call was made.
Yeah, I mean, he was legitimately surprised, which, frankly, I like that in a draft, right? Like, that's the drama you can only get in a draft where, yes, mm-hmm. Like, you are legitimately shocked because you genuinely had no idea that your entire life is about to go there, right? And that component of just the draft generally and all of sports is just so strange, and it must be so odd and so exciting as well. So for him to all of a sudden be propelled to the number one pick, and for him to find out the same time we all find out, I mean, there's some purity in that that we don't normally see, like I said, in 2022. And frankly, it's not how these drafts normally go. So a huge night last night for him. But I do wonder if he looks back on it and he's like, hey, maybe I should have showed up for those workouts. maybe I should have stuck to that plan. But alas, he didn't. It didn't have an effect. Like you said, they still decided to take him at number one. And so we'll see if that ends up being the right pick.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Amber, can I just tell you something? It is so weird for me to watch, because I'm watching SportsCenter right now, to see fans arriving for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final in Colorado, to see them arriving in shorts. I'm a Chicago girl. Like, hockey equates to cold weather. To see people walking into the arena in shorts, I cannot.
That's not weird for me at all, because I live down here in the Tampa Bay area, and all we do is walk to the arena in shorts. I will say though, a dangerous game you're playing, because even when I go to games here, Lightning games in Amalie, I bring, you know, like a hoodie normally, and I'm in jeans, because the thing is, yes, it's hot as heck outside in Florida, except for when you get into any arena with ice, then it's not so hot. Right. It doesn't actually matter what state you're in at that point. So a dangerous game you're playing when you're showing up to any hockey event, I feel like, in shorts, you know. Great. But I'm accustomed to that down here in Tampa Bay. I do associate hockey generally with cold weather. The Lightning have changed my mind on that over the last couple years. We will see if they can continue to make hockey a warm weather sport tonight as they attempt to stave off elimination in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The puck drops tonight between the Avalanche and the Lightning at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. We're coming down the stretch. She's Shea Pepler. I'm Amber Wilson. We have been hanging out with you for the last 4 hours. You can tweet to us at Shea Pepler at Amber W Sports. We've had a lot of help on today's show. Shout out to everybody that helped us make this show happen. If you missed any of it, You can always check out the podcast, Canty and Carlin, on the ESPN app. Jeff Borzello, ESPN's college basketball insider, stopped by to help us break down the NBA draft. Buster Olney stopped by, of course, a Major League Baseball insider, host of Baseball Tonight. He helped us unpack the situation between Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. Chris Carlin, who sometimes hosts this show, his name's on it. Normally he's hosting Greeny, but he was here stopping by, helping me and Shay out as well. Anita Marks, the legend, ESPN New York, 98.7. Also, you can check her out on the Daily Wager. She stopped by to give us the New York perspective on all the drama surrounding all the sports right now in New York. And Greg Wyshynski, ESPN's senior NHL writer, stopped by to help us break down Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. And now, Shay, it is time for us to go 3-0.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is 3 and Out.
This is 3 and Out, and Steve Clifford was out, but now he's in, Shay. Steve Clifford has agreed to return as the Charlotte Hornets coach. Clifford, who led the franchise to 2 playoff appearances in a 5-year run that ended back in 2018, has returned in the wake of Golden State assistant Kenny Atkinson changing his mind. He accepted the job as the Charlotte Hornets head coach. Then he decided instead to stay with Golden State. And now the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets is once again Steve Clifford. After Clifford was fired in 2018, he was hired a few weeks later by the Magic, whom he coached for 3 years. He took them to back-to-back playoff appearances in his first couple seasons. Now he's going to try to make some magic again with the Charlotte Hornets. Take backsies? How do you feel about going back to the job that fired you, Shay?
I feel like this is so NBA. The NBA does this with coaches. They hire them, they fire them, they move. Like, we talked about Doc Rivers potentially going to the Lakers this year. Ty Lue is always in the mix. I mean, I could go on and on about all these coaches and the rearranging. I think it's time for the NBA to take a page, quite frankly, out of the NFL's book. Like, they have a guy like Sean McVay, and now everyone's trying to find the next Sean McVay, the next young, offensive-minded head coach. Like, the NBA just recycles these dudes. And I'm not saying that Steve Clifford isn't a good head coach. I'm just saying, like, this is what happens within the NBA constantly. Mike Brown, like, you hear the same names over and over. They're so afraid to take a leap of faith on some of these younger dudes, and it's a shame, quite frankly.
I feel like all sports do this, frankly, like regurgitate the same
old
names.
Not the NFL is bad.
The NFL does it to an extent. I mean, it's one of the reasons, I think it's one of the reasons there's a diversity problem in the NFL as well,
yeah,
in the coaching ranks, right? Because it is a bit of an old boys network, and then it's like the same old names that end up coming up for every job. But I do agree with you that the NBA has like such a stark problem with it. It's wild with the NBA that these coaches, it's like, oh, well, I'll just coach my fifth team in the NBA. It's very strange that the lack of, new young talent, to your point, in the NBA. That being said, like, I don't have a problem with this. It's so reminiscent of the fact that is a thing in sports where the guy gets fired in 2018, and then Clifford's like, ain't no thing but a chicken wing. Like, bygones be bygones. I'll be back. There's not many other industries in the world where that's the case. I just can't really imagine being in that scenario where I actually get fired in a job in broadcasting, and then you're like, oh, cool, I'm back. No problem. You know, yes. Bygones are bygones. I'm over it. And I think most people probably feel the same way in their respective industries, but sports is just so different. So you literally do not take it personally, because know you're going to get fired if you're the head coach of a team. Like, that's pretty much what happens if you're the head coach of any team, frankly, in all of sports, but particularly in the NBA. So Steve Clifford's back. Those crazy kids, maybe they'll make it this time. The Sky's Candace Parker, she set a WNBA record. Parker scored a WNBA record, third career triple-double, as the Sky beat the Sparks 82-59 last night. Shay, Parker believes that her achievement will be passed soon. Records are made to be broken, but here she is, Candace Parker, out here just setting records, Shay.
Yeah, only a third triple-double. I mean, for the greatness that is Candace Parker, that is the most head-scratching thing to me. But kudos to her. Amazing. And she continues to put on for the city of Chicago and the sky. So I love me some Candace Parker, girl.
Yeah, she got the first two triple-doubles in just one single season. So the sole triple-doubles leader, obviously such a veteran in that league and continues to blaze pass in that league. Speaking of blazing pass, there's a lot of guys who got drafted into the NBA last night that are going to attempt to blaze pass, but their suits might have been doing that instead, making a big splash. Who was your best dressed? I mean, there was some serious suits. I do think, like, even Chet Holmgren, right? Like, putting that frame into formal wear.
That was the worst
easy task.
He might have been my worst dress because I felt like his blazer was too small on him. And I don't
it's
really
hard
understand.
To fit, you know?
No. You're in the NBA draft. You have a custom tailor and you
that's
can
true.
Have a custom
probably,
suit. I live with a 6'9 man. Like, no. Best dress, Ochai Agbaji, not even close. Loved his suit. Fit him perfectly. Bow tie and all. Check. Amazing.
So yours? Fit to you is really what differentiates a good suit from a bad suit. I'm okay with that. Like that. I mean, obviously that does make sense, but I do like the idea of the loudness, right? When you show up to the NBA draft in an all purple suit, then I feel like you get what league you're about to run into or walk into, into, dribble into. Whatever the terminology there should be.
I got it. The purple suit. Jeremy Schoen, I think. I hope I'm saying his last name right. Who the Spurs drafted. I liked his suit, too. Because it fit well. You're going off what I'm going at. I could have done without the turtleneck, though.
Well, yes. Well, it's a very flashy league, so a lot of these guys might fit right in. Also fitting right in, Spain and Fitz. They fit right in here on ESPN Radio. They're coming up next.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.